You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, this morning we're culminating 21 days of prayer and fasting. We started off the new year strong by dedicating just some time for prayer every day, and many of us participated in a fast. And so I just hope that was a special time for you. I'm looking forward to hearing some answers to prayer, some testimonies. In fact, if you have a testimony you'd like to share, I would just encourage you, email the church, info@redemptioncommunitychurch.org, info at redemption. You can go to our website and get that. We'd love to hear from you. Maybe you had a breakthrough, some kind of testimony, some good news to share from this time of fasting and prayer. I'd love to hear some of those praise reports. And we've been pursuing wisdom at the beginning of this new year. We've been in this series on Proverbs called Proverbs, the Way of Wisdom. And today we're going to wrap up this series. And what we've been talking about is pursuing wisdom so that we can live a blessed life. I think that's one thing that we all have in common. Every one of us wants to live a blessed life. We want to live a life of fulfillment. We want to live a good life. And I think many times when we think about that idea, blessed life, we tend to think of that as a destination. Like, I'll have a blessed life one day when I have enough money saved in the bank, right? I'll have a blessed life. Like, life will be good when I can afford to retire and live on a golf course in Florida. Can I get an amen, somebody? I'll have a blessed life. I'll have a good life when I lose weight and I get in shape and I have the body of my dreams. We tend to think of the blessed life. Yeah, and we're getting some amens now. We tend to think of the blessed life as a destination, but I think having a great life is more about the journey than it is about the destination. In fact, let me ask you this. Have you ever been on maybe a family road trip where you were so excited about the destination? I don't know, maybe you were going to the Grand Canyon or Disney World or the beach or whatever, and you were so excited about the destination. But after you arrived, you realized that the journey was just as important, if not more important. Like, you look back, maybe you had a road trip and you realize you made lots of memories with your family, and the journey was just as important as the destination. Let me tell you this morning, that pursuing godly wisdom isn't just about arriving at a destination. It's about becoming a certain kind of person in the process. It's not about just getting to this destination of a good life, a blessed life, a life of fulfillment. That's a good thing. We've talked a lot about that this series. There's nothing wrong with having that as some motivation. But I want to tell you this morning that pursuing the wisdom of God that we find in the Word of God, like especially a book like Proverbs, it's not just about arriving at a blessed life, at a destination. It's about becoming a certain kind of person on the journey, in the process. Proverbs is about learning to love wisdom, so that we can become the kind of person that God is calling us to be. What kind of person is that, you might ask? Well, this quality of life, this kind of person that we can become, is summed up in one word this morning that we want to focus on, and that is faithful. We're called to be people of faithfulness. Everybody say faithfulness. It's an idea that we see over and over again throughout Proverbs, and we're going to look at it today. Proverbs chapter 3, look at this, verses 3 and 4 talks about this very idea. It says, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will find favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." Look at these words, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you." Now, faithfulness comes from the Hebrew word chesed. Chesed is one of those Hebrew words that you have to kind of clear your throat. You got to kind of cough it up when you say it. Come on, everybody try it. Chesed. Let me hear you, Hebrew scholars. Yeah, chesed. And it means goodness, kindness, faithfulness, devotion. It's what I would say is it's love marked by loyalty. Love marked by a sense of faithfulness. How many of you are thankful for faithful friends in your life? Loyal friends who are there for you when you need them. Yeah, it's that kind of love. A couple months back, many of you know that I was in the Holy Land for a Holy Land tour back in November. And on the very last day of the tour, I actually came down with a sick stomach. There were several people who got this on the trip, and I was sick as a dog on the plane on a 12-hour flight back from Tel Aviv to New York. I don't mean to be graphic this morning, but I lost my lunch 3 times on the plane, and I never throw up. I mean, that's the first time probably like in 20 years I've done that. I was so sick. And then lucky me, I landed in New York, and we were having that freak snowstorm that hit in November, you know, the one that hit during rush hour traffic that nobody in New York City was prepared for, right? It was like snowpocalypse. So I get in the JFK, and my good friend, Victor Payano, many of you know Victor, he's actually the very first original team member of this church. He's like a brother to me, my Spanish long-lost brother, mi hermano. So Victor picks me up from JFK, and this snowstorm is hitting. It was about 4 o'clock. Little did we know, we were embarking on the longest commute home I've ever had from the airport in my life. And we got stuck in this terrible traffic. At one point in time, we were in the Bronx, and I think we moved about just a few feet in 2 hours. And guys, I'm sick as a dog. I'm like, I may die right here in your little Mercedes SUV, Victor, but at least it's kind of comfortable. You know, it was bad. And I was starting to lose hope, man. I was like, Vic, like, just fine. Maybe we can find somebody, a friend, you know, somebody close by that we could just get to their house and spend the night and just get off the road. I mean, I was so sick. I had had this 12-hour flight. It was just one of those days where you just wanted to be in your bed. You know what I'm talking about? And I have to say, Victor, he like never lost hope. He's like, no, man, you're going to sleep in your bed tonight. We're going to get you home. I lost all hope. I was like, I'm going to die right here. He's like, no, we're going to get you there. And I think we finally got to my house in Hawthorne at like 1 o'clock in the morning. I'd never been so happy to see my house. I crawled in the house. I like kissed the floor and like cried. Like my family wasn't there to greet me. Everybody was sleeping, but I like cried on the floor for a second. And Victor was like, I was like, man, do you want to crash here? It's so late. He's like, no, I got a busy day tomorrow. I need to get home. He's like, hold on 1 second. Let me go outside. And then I hear him shoveling my driveway. 1 o'clock in the morning, Victor's out, shoveled my whole driveway, salted my driveway. And I was like, I love you, man. You're my brother, man. I love you. But aren't you thankful for friends who are there for you when you need them? I mean, Vic was there for me, right? When I was sick as a dog, I was so tired. There was no way I was getting up to shovel my driveway the next day. And, you know, this is actually how God loves us. We talk so much about agape love, you know, unconditional love. But one aspect of God's love is this idea of hesed. It's a loyal love. It's this sense of God's covenant love for us, that he loves us with loyalty, with faithfulness. And in turn, he calls his people to love him this way. We're called to respond with this kind of loyal love to him. And Proverbs gives us wisdom to express that faithfulness to God. This is really one of the major themes of Proverbs. It's wisdom to become faithful. So here's the big idea today. We pursue wisdom to become faithful. I want to invite you to put that in your notes today. We pursue wisdom to become faithful. If you are a follower of Christ, we pursue wisdom not just to have the good life, a blessed life. Yeah, that's beautiful. That's a byproduct. That's a wonderful reward. And there's nothing wrong with being rewarded for the pursuit of wisdom. But ultimately, we pursue wisdom to become a certain kind of person, and that is, it's a faithful person who responds with their life to God in faithfulness. And so I want to give you a couple ideas of how we can do that today. We want to get practical this morning, how we can pursue wisdom and become a faithful person. How to pursue wisdom and become a faithful person. I want to invite you to take some notes today. You received some note sheets when you came in. If you have the Redemption app on your phone, you can open that up. There's a spot where you can take notes. If you don't have the app, you can get it from the website. But how to pursue wisdom and become a faithful person. Here's the first idea. Number one, respond with reverence. Respond with reverence. Look at this. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." This is a verse we looked at back in week one, right? Foundational verse, one of the most famous verses in the whole book of Proverbs. It's this idea of reverence. You say, what does the fear of the Lord mean? You know, am I supposed to be afraid of God? You know, I thought God was a God of love and grace. Well, it's the idea of reverence, that I want every area of my life to be submitted to the will of God. I want to love God with all of my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength. I want my will to be submitted to his will, my heart to be aligned with his heart. I want to live with a sense of reverence for God's presence in my life. And so I respond with reverence. In fact, Solomon tells us in the book of Proverbs, this is the proper response for the people of God. This is the response that should guide our attitude and our hearts, living with this sense of there's a reverence for God in every decision I make, everything I do, the way I treat people, the way I handle my finances, the way I handle my relationships. There's this sense of God, I'm doing it all with a sense of love for you, in response to you, with reverence for who you are. And it starts with this simple realization that God is God and I am not. God is God and I am not. Come on, if we really believe God is who he says he is, then we have to have this shift in our hearts that we remove ourselves as being the center of authority and we put God there. Because a lot of times we like to put ourselves at the center of the universe, but there's got to be a shift here if we're going to live with reverence, and it begins with God. You are God and I am not. And so you're going to be the center of my universe, and I'm going to make my life revolve around you and your heart for me and your word and your principles and what you want for my life. How many of you have seen the wisdom sculpture at Rockefeller Center? Right there at the entrance to 30 Rock where they put the Christmas tree up every year. And it's this Art Deco sculpture that was created in the 1930s. And it portrays wisdom as this like Zeus-like figure with lightning bolts in his hand. And there's actually a scripture there from Isaiah chapter 33, verse 6. And it says, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. Have you seen this sculpture? I noticed it years ago on a visit to New York City. And it's kind of fascinating because Rockefeller Center was built during this age where there was this sense of that we were coming into a time of uninhibited progress with our science and breakthroughs in technology, and skyscrapers were going up in New York City, and it was this sense that we were going to go into this time of progress. In fact, there's another sculpture. There's a theme all around Rockefeller Center. There's one that's dedicated to progress and science. It was kind of this sense that there was this amazing era we were living in, and so this scripture, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. Stability because of this amazing time that we live in. And yet, it seems like times are more unstable than ever before, doesn't it? Like, what happened? Here we are, we walk around with like, you know, smartphones, iPhones in our pockets. We have more computing technology in this age of progress in our pockets than there were anywhere in the world just a few decades ago. What happened to us? We live in a time where, look at the divorce rate. Look at this opioid crisis in our country. Look at the political tensions. We can't even keep the government opened in a leading democracy in America. We need to figure out how to get along, right? Our politicians need to go back to kindergarten and get some training on how to get along. Can I get an amen, somebody? We need help. We got racial problems in this. Like, what happened? What happened? This was supposed to be this age of uninhibited progress. And I can tell you, I think part of the answer, and that is that people a long time ago decided to build their lives on something else rather than wisdom. Rather than wisdom and true knowledge, the knowledge and wisdom of God, people decided to build their lives on materialism and the pursuit of wealth and the pursuit of self-satisfaction. In some kind of way, our culture lost this pursuit of true wisdom. And you and me as believers, as followers of Christ, as the people of God, we know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How many of you want a stable foundation for your life? Stable, if you're married, a stable foundation for your marriage. The wisdom of Proverbs is that you have to build your life on something solid. And it starts with the reverence of God, to live with this sense that God, I want every area of my life to honor you, God. See, it's a response. We respond with reverence. And can I tell you, the thing is, we don't have to do this under compulsion. We don't have to do this under obligation. You know, a lot of times we think about, you know, I have to keep the commands of God, you know, if I want to have his blessing. No, here's the truth. We get to give our lives back, because when we meditate on the faithfulness and the goodness of God, we begin to realize that giving our lives back to him, it's not something we have to do. It's something we get to do. We respond with love. When somebody's loved you well, right, it motivates you. It inspires you to love them back well, to give your life back. And so it's a faithful love. It's chesed. It's this idea of a loyal love. God's been faithful to us. He's been good to us. And so we get to express this idea of love marked by loyalty back to him and responding with our lives in reverence. So the fear of the Lord, the reverence of God, is the beginning of true wisdom, of building a life of true wisdom. Here's the second thing. We're talking about pursuing wisdom, how to pursue wisdom and become a faithful person in the process, because pursuing wisdom is about becoming someone, becoming a certain kind of person, not just arriving at a certain destination. The second thing is develop character. Develop character. Now stop and think about this for a moment. When we think about someone's character, we tend to think of it as being something static, right? It's just kind of who you are, right? Like, this person is a loving and caring person, and this person is an impatient person, a rude person. If we're honest, we kind of put people in categories. We tend to think of character as static, as something that really doesn't change. We kind of talk about it that way, and it's just kind of, you know, this is who you are. When you think about someone, you think about their character traits. But Proverbs actually tells us that there's a strong connection between decision-making and cultivating character, that we can actually cultivate our character. We can actually, with the help of the Lord, develop our character. It's not quite so static after all. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we can actually develop character. Look at this. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 11 through 12 says this: wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. Wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted. And there's this sense here that making wise choices will save you from evil person, because you won't become one of them. You know, you're developing character as you're making these wise choices, and it keeps you on the right path. So track with me here. There's a process here. There's a process that we've been talking about over the past few weeks. And here's the idea. We pursue wisdom, right? We're intentional. That's what this whole series has been about. We've committed ourselves to this. We're going to pursue wisdom. And as we pursue wisdom, we begin to develop our discernment, right? We've talked about kind of strengthening our discernment muscle so that we can make the right decision in any situation that life throws at us, especially in this year ahead, as we're going to face a lot of different decisions. So we pursue wisdom to make better choices. We develop our discernment. And as we develop our discernment, it actually has another byproduct. It helps us develop our character. Character formation starts to happen. Here's the truth. Sometimes we get so frustrated with our flaws, don't we? If we're honest with ourselves, we get so frustrated with our flaws. Like, why, after all of these years, do I lose my temper so easy? You ever feel that way? We usually blame it on our family. It's not my fault. I'm German. Whatever. I find myself saying stuff like that, right? I get it from my mother. We get so frustrated with our character flaws. Why do I make such selfish decisions sometimes? Why is it that I'm so impatient sometimes? And there's this sense that we're kind of stuck with being who we are. Like, this is just who I am. I got this from my mom, and I'm always going to be this way. But I have good news for you this morning, church, that character can be developed. Character can be developed. One biblical commentator put it this way. He said, virtues as their practice become habit. Virtues as their practice become habit. You can actually practice character. You can rehearse character. You can get into a string of wise decisions that lead to you building more solid character. Just like we practice anything, you can rehearse to become a certain kind of person. Just like if you want to be a good athlete, right? You got to go to practice. Come on, there are two teams right now that are practicing for the Super Bowl, right? The Rams and the Patriots. Now, we all know the Saints should be there. They got robbed, but that's a sermon for a different time. Yes, I am a little bit bitter, so keep me in your prayers, okay? The Lord is still bringing healing to my life. I got to get it out a little bit, okay? Conspiracy theories, but anyway. But these teams are practicing, right, to be Super Bowl champions, even if it's rigged. I'm just saying. If you want to be a good musician, right, you got to practice to become a good musician. When I was in my final semester in college, I was getting an education degree to be a teacher, and I had to do student teaching. What does that mean? It means they give you a classroom full of kids, and they get to be your guinea pig for a semester as you figure out how to teach. I was practicing to become something, right? What does a doctor do? A doctor goes into residency where they practice medicine. Come on, isn't that comforting to know that your doctors are practicing medicine and they never really graduate from it? What is it? What do you say when you meet a doctor? Oh, I practice medicine. Well, thank you. That's so comforting to know that you're practicing on us. But you can practice, you can train, you can rehearse to become something. And that's the idea, is that we can rehearse to be a certain kind of person. We can actually rehearse to become faithful people. We can rehearse character. We can rehearse virtues. We can become a certain kind of person, the kind of person that we're called to be. And it starts with wise choices. And Proverbs is full of wisdom to help us make wise choices and build character. Look at this. You can choose your speech. Proverbs chapter 15 verse 1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You know, I find myself quoting that verse out loud to myself every now and then. Every now and then when I'm in the middle of a conversation with my wife, I'm usually wrong, but you know, I'm in a conversation with her and I gotta remind myself, a gentle answer turns away wrath. You can choose your speech. You can choose your work ethic. Proverbs 10:4 says, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. We can choose to be good workers. We can choose to be people who pursue our work and our business and our career with good ethics and morality and honesty and treat people fairly. You can choose sexual integrity. Proverbs 6:32, a man who commits adultery has no sense. Whoever does so destroys himself. Lots of wisdom in the Proverbs. about practicing sexual integrity. You can choose sobriety. Look at Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker and beer a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. We can choose moderation. We can make wise choices about being sober. Are you with me this morning? This is how you rehearse character. And Proverbs is riddled with wisdom about making wise decisions. This isn't about keeping the rules. We get this so wrong sometimes. We read the commandments in the Bible and it's like, oh, one more thing I have to do. No. This is about a God who loves you. This is about a God who is a loving heavenly Father who wants what's best for you. This is about the people of God who live this out. This isn't just theory. This isn't just philosophy. This is wisdom that was recorded over thousands of years. The people of God lived this out, and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they wrote these words down for you and for me to help us make wise decisions so we could become faithful people. And so let me tell you, I'll give you a little formula for character. Character equals wisdom in action. Character equals wisdom in action. You want to build your character? You want to be a better person this year? You want to grow as a human being? You want to grow spiritually? Then put wisdom into action and you'll begin to develop character. It's not enough to just be a hearer of the word, as the book of James says, but you got to be a doer of the word. And can I give you just some more encouragement that you're not doing this by yourself? We have the help of the Holy Spirit, right? Remember the fruits of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. Those are all the byproduct of the Holy Spirit is working with you. So you're not even in this by yourself. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have the Spirit of God at work in you. But how many of you know we got to cooperate a little bit? It helps if we cooperate with the grace of God. It helps if we cooperate with the Holy Spirit who is at work in you. Because I think there's sometimes that the Holy Spirit is like, I'm working in you. I'm trying to help you in this situation. I'm trying to help you with that person. Work with me here. Come on. We can develop character. Here's the third thing. We're talking about pursuing wisdom and in the process becoming faithful people. The third thing is we got to grow in community. We got to respond with reverence, build our lives. This idea that the fear of the Lord, reverence of God is the beginning of wisdom. We can develop character. We can make wise choices that lead to character formation. The third thing is we can grow in community. You know, when we open the book of Proverbs, it's almost like we're invited into this classroom. As we begin to read, it's like we get sucked into the story. There's this sense that there's this classroom that's happening and wisdom is being shared, right? There's all these wise people and sages and fathers speaking to sons. And it's almost as if we're invited to come and sit with the people of God and learn together. This is the classroom that we learn in. Look at this, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 as an example. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding, right? It's like this invitation to come be a part of this lesson that's happening within the family context as fathers are teaching sons. And ladies, don't feel left out. This was just kind of a male culture back then, but the same idea applies, that wisdom instruction happened in the family. It's almost like Proverbs is inviting us to come in and sit with a godly family that's learning wisdom together. In fact, I did a little reading on this. In the Old Testament, wisdom in particular, instruction in wisdom was passed down in the context of the home, in the community, your family, your clan. Like you were learning to follow God. You were learning to pursue wisdom together. Can I just tell you this morning, church, that we're not growing alone. In this pursuit of wisdom, in this pursuit to become faithful people, people who live faithful lives unto God, like you're not just in this by yourself. We're in this together as God's people. This is what it means to belong to the family of God. This is what it means to be a part of the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. We're in this together. Come on, how many of you know we're better together? This whole month of Proverbs, there's been a sense of like momentum because we've all been studying together and reading together and fasting together. I've been encouraged as I talk to other people, how they've been praying and how they've been fasting, how they've been reading Proverbs. And there's this sense of like we're on this journey together. And it's encouraging, isn't it? It's encouraging when you know you're not doing this by yourself. I want to tell you that we are becoming something together. Fast forward to the New Testament. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, and in him, in Christ, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. You're being built together into something where God's presence can come. The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, he said, you also like living stones are being built into a spiritual house. It's this imagery of we're being built together. In fact, it's the imagery of the temple. We have a picture for you a picture of the temple, and you can see those large stones. There's a picture of my dad. He was talking to a man there who was the kind of the traffic control guy at the Western Wall there in Jerusalem. But look at, notice the size of those stones in the background. That's the imagery that Peter and Paul had in mind, that you are being built together into a spiritual house. That was actually the Jewish word for temple. It was the house of God. You're being built into something so where God's presence can come. The idea is there is something that you and I can only become together, that we can't become by ourselves. We need each other. We need community. I say it all the time, that Christianity is not just content, but the church is a family you belong to. I'm thankful for podcasts. I'm thankful for Christian books. I'm thankful for all the different ways you can you know, watch Christian television, whatever. All those things are nice, but there's something you can only become when you're plugged into the family of God. We're better together. I need you. You need me. When you're down, I might be up. When you're up, I might be down. You have a spiritual gift that I don't have. I have a spiritual gift you don't have. And when we come together, it's like it's multiplied. And we're on this journey together. We're becoming something together. And when you think about stones, I don't know anything about masonry, but I would imagine when you're fitting stones like that together, they're gonna grind up against each other every now and then. Come on, let's just be honest. As we're being fitted into something, we're gonna rub each other the wrong way every now and then. Every now and then, somebody is gonna eat way too many donuts in front of you in the line at guest services. Let's be honest. Every now and then, we might not get the coffee just right. Every now and then, I might preach a sermon that offends you a little bit. I like to offend the religious spirit every now and then. It might happen, right? But I'm telling you, don't bail out on the church. That's the problem. So many people, they get hurt by the church. Can I just let you in a little bit of a secret here? The Church of Jesus Christ, the problem with it is it's made up of human beings like you and me, flawed human beings. And never join a perfect church, because the minute you join it, you ruined it because you're not perfect either. No perfect people need apply, please. Do not. If you're perfect, please, don't come mess this up, because this is not a church full of people who think they're perfect, okay? This is rehab for sinners. This is rehab for sinners, okay? I'm gonna go first, like an AA meeting, right? So, hi, my name is Jeremy, and I'm in recovery by the grace of God. I'm getting better every day. I haven't arrived yet, but I'm gonna get there, and my wife is praying the whole way and cheering me on, please get there soon, okay? We need each other. This is why you got to go out there and get plugged into a life group. If you've never been in a life group before, this is your cycle. Jump in. You got to get into one. Go find something in your neighborhood. Go find something in your demographic. Go find a study that you're interested in. Because you know what? It's really not about the study. The study is going to be great, but you're going to get some brothers and sisters around you who can pray for you. And when you're going through a need that otherwise would have gone unknown in the church, because I can't know everybody's need. Our church family is already too large. There's going to be a group of people you can say, hey, I have a need, guys. Would you pray with me? Would you stand with me? Would you encourage me through this? And somebody's going to be there for you in your life. That's what happens. That's why I would encourage you, go out there and get connected with a life group. Try it for a few weeks. See the difference that it makes in your life to not do this journey alone by yourself. Because there's something you and I can only become together that we can't become by ourselves. And so we have to grow in community. There's a communal aspect to this whole thing that we've been doing in Proverbs. If you've been reading with us this past month, it's this idea that we're on this journey together as God's people. As God's people, we're in the classroom of life pursuing wisdom, because we want to live good lives. We want to have a blessed life, but our heart is to be a certain kind of person. And let me just tell you this morning, if you want to become a faithful person, let me ask you this. How many of you would say, I want to be more faithful this year in my walk with Christ? I want to be more faithful this year in my walk with God. I see hands up all over the place. And if your hand's not up, I hope your hand is up in position inside your heart to say, yeah, I want to be more faithful this year. And can I just tell you that the secret to becoming a more faithful Christian, it's not just trying harder. We've all tried that before. So many times we think it's just, I'll just try hard. I'll just put more effort into it. Don't get me wrong. There's something to be said for putting your heart into it. There's something to be said for cooperating with the work of God in your life. There's something to be said for working out your salvation with fear and trembling, as the scripture says. There's our part to play in pursuing the things of God. But let me tell you a little source of inspiration I found in becoming a faithful person. It's to meditate on the faithfulness of God. It's to meditate on the goodness and the faithfulness of God in your life. You know, this past week, as I was praying about this message and closing this series out and just spending some time in worship, I begin to recount the faithfulness of God in my life. I begin to recount the faithfulness of God in my life. I begin to give thanks for all he's done for me. I begin to think about the seasons of life where God carried me, when it wasn't me, when I was weak, when I would have fallen apart, but God, you were faithful, God. God, I look back and I see how you took care of me. God, I look and I see how you were with me. God, I look back and I see your hand of protection on my life. God, I look back and I see how you've done in this church what I could have never done. God, you've been faithful. God, you've been good. God, you cover me by your grace. And what does it do? It makes me want to give my life back. It doesn't become obligation anymore. It doesn't become, God, I have to try harder. It doesn't become like, God, I have to jump through all of these hoops to please you. No, it becomes, God, I want to give my life back to you. God, I want to be more faithful to you because you've been faithful to me. God, you loved me with a loyal love. And God, I want to be loyal to you. And God, there's some areas of my life where I could be more faithful. God, there's some areas of my life that have lacked faithfulness. God, there's some areas of my life where your will and my will haven't lined up. And God, I want to choose your will over my will. I want to tell you, church, on those days when you feel like you can't do it, on those days where you feel like you put in all of your effort, but you still came up short, that's the time to recount the faithfulness of God. That's the time to look to Jesus. To turn your eyes to Jesus, as the scripture says, keep your eyes on him, the author and perfecter of your faith. Because when we fail, you just get up and you put your eyes on Jesus and you just get up another day and you keep failing forward. Come on, we're going to fail sometimes. We're going to blow it sometimes in this attempt to be faithful people. We're going to have some days where we go backwards. We're going to have some days where it's two steps forward, one step back. We're going to have some days where we feel like we've undone all of our progress. I'm going to tell you, that's the time not to give up and throw in the towel, but to dust yourself off, pick yourself up, and keep your eyes on Jesus. Because we have one advantage as New Testament Christians that the people of God didn't have in the Old Testament. We have Jesus. Wisdom has come to us in the form of a person. Our Savior, who loves us, who gave himself for us, who is the embodiment of faithfulness, who came to this life and he lived to this world and he lived a faithful life on our behalf, because the Father knew you and I would fail at faithfulness. That's the time to trust in Jesus, who will make you into something you could never be on your own. Amen. Why don't you stand with me? We're going to close out in prayer this morning. The worship team's coming back and we're going to sing a final song together. But I just want to invite you to pray with me this morning, to commit ourselves to this, to commit ourselves to being faithful people. And I want there to be a sense this morning that as we do this, church, we're doing it together. It's an individual commitment, but we're committing to get together today as a church family. Like, we're in this together. We recognize that we're pursuing the wisdom and the ways of God together. Amen. And we're going to be in community. We're going to be in relationship. We're going to cheer each other on. We're going to encourage each other. As we get into life groups, we're going to cheer each other on and become something together that we can never be on our own. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you for your wisdom. God, we thank you for this whole month that we've had to dedicate ourselves to pursuing your wisdom, God. And Father, I thank you that it's your heart's desire to give it to us. Lord, this morning, we want to be faithful people. God, we want to be the kind of people whose lives are marked by faithfulness to you. Lord, this morning, we're reminded of the way you've loved us. God, you've been good to us. God, you've been faithful to us. God, you've been loyal to us. God, you have made a covenant with us. God, you've bound yourself to us, God, to never give up on us, God. Thank you that your grace is new to us every day. And so this morning, God, we want to respond by giving ourselves back to you. Would you pray that with me? God, I give myself back to you. God, I commit myself to faithfulness, God, to become a faithful person, a son, a daughter, marked by faithfulness to you. God, I thank you that as we do it, your blessings are going to come upon our lives. Lord, we're going to live lives of wisdom, lives of goodness, lives of fulfillment as we become people of wisdom, people who are marked by faithfulness to you. God, seal it in our hearts, God. Seal this month of pursuing wisdom in our hearts, that it becomes a foundation for our lives. We pray in Jesus' name.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.